You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Yes, you're locked into Wavelength, bringing you the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. My name is Avni Ting, I'm your host, and I'll be bringing you through a couple of tunes from the Asian region. Got some remixes towards the end from local producers, something from DJ and producer Didi Han from Korea, something from the duo Duora from Indonesia. I'll also be joined by singer-songwriter and producer Hauk. He's from Singapore, and he'll be dropping his latest single called Excuse Me, What's the Time, featuring Japanese band Fontana Full. All that and more heading your way, so don't change the dial. Keep it locked right here on BFM 89.9. Got a few tunes to play for you before that interview with Hauk. Sogam from Korea, AOMG artist, has a new track out called Benore, Busan and Tongyeon. I'll be playing that track right after this one from Jun Marizi, aka O. And her plan is to drop an album every year until 2032. Every August 27th, she will drop a new album. And this next one is from her third release that she dropped this year. Check it out. Here's O, I Didn't Mention, Part 2. Thank you.
It was more than just not being able to hear anything or make contact with anyone.
You're listening to Wavelength on BFM 89.9.
Yeah. Sick and tired, you're living like the little boy in Papa Black Ship. I used to be so cool when I walk, but now I'm back on my own. This zombie like this yet, getting all crazy. Nobody do it like I do. I get the check like this, yeah. Calling no quits, yeah. I forget till I make it. Ooh. Flexing no bands, BMW. Flexing no bands, all up on you. Big boy energy, big boy energy, big boy. Gotta be my energy, big boy energy. Gotta be my energy, big boy energy. Gotta be boy, big boy. Not that this in the world, but I'm well and healthy, yeah. Not that good thing, good thing, girls, but I'm a mommy, yeah. Coming up and up from the work, I make the money up. Off the trips, I throw the blood, yeah. I'm what they need, it'd be different than say. I'm not the same.
Say I'm not the same person.
Even though I'm kidding, we're sick that I am here to play your game. So many OGs now, talk nation OGs. Taking pages for free now, smile but never say cheese. Nonetheless, it can be pop, mediocrity. I ain't got a degree still, my shit is boiling. Boiling, boy.
What the fuck is that?
Mind, mind, big boy. Got a big boy energy, big boy energy, big boy. Got a big boy energy, yeah, don't love me. Got a big boy energy, big boy energy. Got a big boy, big boy. Not that this in the world, but I'm well and healthy, yeah. Not that good, that good thing, girls, but I'm my mommy, yeah. Just to throw the dirt, stay in your body.
Your body,
mind your own happiness.
Your happiness. Yeah.
Yo, what time is it?
Local duo Herbal Candy with their debut on the Wavelength track list. That was the track Big Boy. Do check out their music video that's on YouTube once again. Herbal Candy from Malaysia with Big Boy. Okay, right after this, I'll be joined by Singaporean singer-songwriter and producer Hauk. That's coming up right after our first break for the hour. But before heading to our very short break, here's a new one from Japanese jazz pianist Kazumi Kaneda. Together with Gas Lab featuring Hector Mario, here's a new one called Getaway.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Wavelength, bringing the best sounds and stories from the Asian region. Right now, joining me on the line, I have multi-instrumentalist, producer, singer-songwriter, and some say the chocolate god. I have Hauk all the way from Singapore. Hey man, how's it going?
Hey man, nice to meet you, Neil.
Nice to meet you too.
The chocolate god, I completely forgot where that came from.
Hey, you know, once it's on the internet, it stays there forever, right?
True.
Finding out a bit more about your full-length album that you'll be dropping real soon. But maybe as a starter, could you tell me a bit more about your early encounter with music?
Right, so I've always been listening to music ever since I was a kid. Like, there was always like a Walkman lying around the house, belonged to my older sister, my dad. So they were the ones always buying the cassettes. So I always had like a steady flow of stuff to listen through. And that was basically that growing up, and I think at some point I decided to buy Guitar Hero when that came out, and I think it was at a point where they were starting to introduce the whole band instead of just playing the guitar, so I bought the whole thing, and I thought I got pretty good at it.
So for those who maybe missed out on the whole era, so you're talking about you got the guitars, you got the drum set as well. Am I missing anything?
So there's also a mic. There's a mic and the second guitar can act as a bass. But yeah, those four.
So that was your first encounter with music?
Yes.
Did you manage to pass through the Fires and Flames? Arguably one of the tougher songs in Guitar Hero, right?
Yes. So when I played that one, I haven't bought the controller yet. So I was playing that on like my PlayStation controller, and I decided that it was impractical because the buttons were coming too fast. So it was that song actually, that song and One by Metallica, I think, that inspired me to get the controller. Yeah.
So after getting the controller, what was the first instrument that you got?
The one that I mastered first was guitar. So I actually bought a real guitar. But the thing is about real life is when you're left-handed, you need to find a left-handed guitar, and they are not easy to find. And, you know, unlike Guitar Hero, you just flip it and you press pause. You just put lefty. Anyway, I bought the guitar first and started out just trying to learn some tabs, and I think I just got slightly better from there, and I called a couple of classmates and I said like, hey, you know, we should do a couple of songs together.
Mm-mm. Because you've mentioned before, right, that you don't actually know the chords to your own songs, so that's not really true, lah, right?
I think if you were to ask me right now, like, oh, okay, on this song, what chords do you use? I can't answer the question for you. I have to go into the file and realize, oh, that's what I was playing. But if you ask me, like, oh, play this particular chord, I will take some time, but I'll get there, you know? So that's probably where I'm at with that.
I've got to say, man, you've gotten way funkier with a lot of your... with each new release, I would say, since your 2017 release, The Death Process. What do you think caused that shift? Was it different influences?
Yeah, I think, you know, some were conscious and some were subconscious. Like, I'm always, like, listening to newer stuff that I can be inspired by whenever I'm just listening to music generally. And I guess there's been this sort of subconscious flow towards things that are more funkier, syncopated and whatnot. Mm. But I think the more bigger direct influence would be my time in Melbourne, because I think I hung out with a lot of the bands that sort of lean towards like a bit more of a neo-soul / like funk or anything like left field really. So I was hanging out a lot with them, hanging out at gigs, and even if they weren't necessarily music, I naturally leaned towards, I sort of grew to love them.
Mm. Do you see yourself as a producer first or a songwriter first?
I would say, good question. producer. On one hand, I get most excited about writing the start of the song, which typically are the instrumentation. So that is where I would say I'm a producer first, but I don't really want to, you know, I don't want the singer-songwriter bit to be compromised as well. So I tend to put a bit more respect into that department. So it's really half and half.
Mm. Yeah. It's all about finding that balance.
Yeah.
you're starting to bleed.
Speaking of producing, do you have a bag of go-to samples or, like, you know, maybe a go-to instrument that you would typically start your songs with? Or is it different with each song?
Another good question. Because I think for me, I don't have like this sort of like, okay, today I'm gonna start with the keyboard. Mm. It's really not like that. It's more like sometimes I'll go like record thrifting, and if there's something really cool, I'll try to find a way to sample that. But I think for the current album that I'm writing, I've been trying to, you know, sort of back to that earlier question where I'm a bit more inspired by sort of these jazz cats from Melbourne. I wanna sort of see, you know, what I can do without leaning on sampling a bit more. So I would say for this whole album, maybe I've been starting with keyboards first, and that has always been something I tried to avoid in the past, because with, you know, when you don't really know that much theoretical knowledge on a particular instrument, you tend to like put yourself into one way of starting and one way of playing. And I think with this album, I've tried to tell myself, okay, when I start, let's avoid what I would typically lean towards and just embrace whatever that comes. So I think I've been trying to break that wall down. And to answer your question, keyboards mostly for this time around.
I've also seen some analog gear in the form of a tape machine appearing on your social media. Were they used in a music production, or is it more of a prop?
I'm glad to say that they are not props. they're quite integral to the production of this album. It's funny, you know, like I used to use a lot of analog synthesizers, but then they are very unreliable. Mm-hmm. So
depends on the weather. Sometimes if it gets the humidity, yeah. Sometimes it goes a bit out of tune.
You know, just the other day I was performing, and when I got on stage, my synthesizer decided to go out of tune. So yeah. Anyway, I want to get this sort of rawness, or rather this spirit that's a bit more nostalgic. And, you know, to do that, you sort of, to a certain degree, need to embrace the techniques of production that was from the past. Mm. So, you know, before digital audio workstations, a lot of people recorded onto tape. And it wasn't just a medium. The medium sort of gave character to the songs. And that's something I wanted to embrace. So it's, you know, a lot of the stuff I've been using, the compressors, stuff like that, are also analog for this album. So hopefully in that spirit, I can attain that grit for the album, because I think thematically speaking as well, it's a lot more in tune with the emotional element behind the lyrics as well. So hopefully they can sort of meet in the middle.
As a multi-instrumentalist producer like yourself, it's sometimes pretty tough, right, to let individuals into your world and work together, since you're in the driver's seat most of the time. It doesn't seem to be the case for you, since you've had your fair share of collaborations either via your remixes or having them featured on your track.
Yeah, I think what I've also alluded to earlier is I think my early days in music, I started out with a band, and there's one thing I'll never take away from those days, and that's, you know, sort of the dynamics of being in a band, because there's only so much you can imagine. And, you know, when you have band members that are creatively inputting into your workflow as well, you'll constantly be surprised of, you know, some things that they might come up with that you could never. And that's sort of the spirit. Once I went and made Hauk, I didn't want to lose that spirit, although I'm now working alone. So in reality, a lot of the early work as Hauk was mostly me alone, because that's sort of circumstantial. But now that I have sort of a chance to work with other people, it's something I'm so happy to welcome back again, because you know, I never forgot what that meant for me. And it's true, because on these songs on the album, it's just so mind-blowing at times for me how some of these bands just imagine some of the things I create, you know.
Since we're on the topic of collaborations, how did you meet the guys from Fontana Four?
Oh, it's actually, it's funny. I think Jasmine, my manager, she's affiliated with someone that the band works with. He sort of handles a lot of PR in Japan, and I think he's affiliated with the band. And there were some bands on the album that I've already found on my own, but even to a certain degree, I didn't want it to be completely that way, because then again, I'll be shoehorning myself into just working with the things I'm comfortable with. So I sort of opened the floor and asked her if she knew anyone that could be a pleasant surprise for me. Because, you know, that's something I I thought could, you know, I sort of wanted that, that like almost like discomfort in a lack of familiarity.
Mm-mm.
And I'm not gonna lie, initially when we did start working on the track, it was literally that made me shell-shocked to a certain degree, because just the workflow was so alien to me, but it became so brilliant at the end. Yeah.
The song is your second single, called Excuse Me, What's the Time? It will be featured in your upcoming full-length release. I'm going to assume that it was all done remotely via Zoom and all that?
Yeah, for each of the bands that I've worked with, they've all had a very different way of communicating. Some of them kept it through email, some of them sort of kept it through phone calls, you know, just really casual stuff. But with Fontana Fold, we're very organized, and I think it's very in character for them. They kept Zoom calls on specific dates to just check in on the progress. And from there, we sort of always had some sort of way to keep up with where the song is at.
Hmm.
And it was really, really, how do you call it? It's just really efficient, I'd say.
Nice. Are all the new songs that will be featured in that new album time-related? Because Excuse Me, What's the Time, Metro 435, and the album will be called The Biting Tempo, right? So also time-related.
Yeah. Yes, good idea. The whole album is thematically related to time, and more specifically surrounding my time when I was in Australia, and how it really got me into this sort of introspective state to sort of reflect on how time sort of influenced the various things around me at the time, whether it being like friendships or just something a bit more existential, or, you know, just the different things. And with Metro, it's sort of this sort of rationalizing on whether my time there made sense. And for Excuse Me, that leans more towards how time can influence the decay of friendships. You know, I'm not trying to sound too depressing here, but I think with introspection, there comes a lot of trying to keep a realistic mindset.
Mm. So this full-length album is poised to drop in March next year?
Correct.
How good are you with deadlines?
I'd like to think I'm not too bad with it. The reality here is, for reasons I cannot share, there has to be a release in March. So it will definitely be out in March, so don't worry about that.
Any future plans for listeners out there, or maybe like upcoming live shows that you're doing that we can catch?
So right now, we are in the midst of planning sort of an album release show to sort of support the album itself. And to me, this album is very visual, and I didn't want it to just be sort of like a typical performance. You know, I'm trying to get it sorted with a local indie cinema. You know, it's nothing's concrete as of yet. But with that being said, I also want the visual experiment to transcend just like it being at the live show. So everyone who's been helping with me remotely, or just anyone who's a fan outside of Singapore, can sort of feel the experience as well. You know, I don't want it to be exclusive at all.
So where's the best place for listeners and fans out there to get all the latest information?
For now, social media would be a great place to stay networked with, because I'm constantly just sharing the developments of this album on those platforms, IG, Facebook, TikTok, even YouTube, when some of the visual stuff are out. Like, for example, Excuse Me, What's the Time will be, it'll have its own music video. If you stay tuned with what's going on my social media, you'll definitely be treated with, you know, the fruits of my labor.
What's your social media handle?
So it's Hauk Official on IG. It's also on TikTok. It's just Hauk. If it's either Hauk or Hauk Official on the different platforms. So like Facebook itself, it's just Hauk. YouTube, it's Hauk Official. I apologize that Hauk itself was taken on some of those platforms.
I mean, you shouldn't apologize for that, man.
And interestingly enough, for Twitter though, I have, this is just a one-off thing where it's called Haugang GRC, and it's sort of a shout out to the local government. Yeah, so it's Haugang GRC on Twitter, but it's Hauk Official or Hauk everywhere else.
Haugang is a street in Singapore, right?
It's a sort of like a suburb / neighborhood. And,
Wrapping your hood.
Yes. So spoiler alert, I no longer live there.
You're still not forgetting your roots, I guess.
yeah, for sure. I think because this whole project started out at that place, I can't deny the significance of that point in my life and how I shall always stay rooted to that point and what that meant for me and means to me up till today.
Nice, well said. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, man, and sharing more details about your music.
Thank you so much for having me. It means a lot.
Let's play that second single that will be featured in his upcoming full-length, The Biting Tempo. The track's called Excuse Me, What's the Time? Featuring Fontana Fall by Hauk, right here on Wavelength BFM 89.9.
I'm dead on arrival. I'm just
from Indonesia. That was the duo Duara featuring Vira Talisa, also from Indonesia, with the track Morning Sun. You're still locked into Wavelength, bringing the best sounds and stories from the Asian region with me, Ofnir Thing. A couple more tracks for you before I say goodbye. Here's two back-to-back remixes from local producers Ready Rocket and Dahlia. Dahlia did a remix for Roche Music artist La Blue and Astron. I'll be playing his remix of Blue. But first up, the Ready Rocket remix of Compass by West 7 and Ross Farron.
Don't wanna
Astrun with the track Blue. That was a remix by local producer Dahlia. Hey, hope you've really enjoyed all the tunes I've been playing for you thus far. Big shout out to my guest for this episode, Hulk from Singapore. One last track to play for you before I close off this hour. Just a reminder, if you'd like to revisit all our previous episodes, it's all available on our website, www.bfm.my. Search for Wavelength. I'm going to close off the show with a track taken from Korean DJ and producer Didi Han. Here's a new one from her that features Lydia Lee and L Like. It's called Something Like This. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy until next time. You've been locked into Wavelength, bringing the best sounds and stories from the Asian region with me, Off New Thing. Until then, take care and stay safe right here on BFM 89.9.
You know, I could probably sing something like, just like. Thank you.